Hello, everyone. Hopefully you're having and or had a wonderful day today. It's been a minute. It's been a second since we've had an episode, but we're back, and I'm excited to be back. It's an incredibly rainy day today in New York City. I want you to imagine me recording this podcast episode from a skyline, like high up in the clouds, skyscraper building, foggy windows because the clouds are touching the window and it's like raining, and I'm just having a conversation with you. That's what I want you to imagine, because that's kind of how I feel right now. I feel like not Batman, but like, you know, when it's cloudy in New York City, it feels like it's Gotham. It really does. For those of you who are like, what the heck, who is this guy? My name is Drew Joyner. I make fashion content on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and I have a podcast. And the point of this podcast is to facilitate conversations, is to have conversations, is to interact and talk about fashion and just kind of allow my brain to wander on an audio only kind of format and just have fun, relax, hang out. If you've obviously known about me for a bit, like, you know how we get down with the episodes. If this is your second time listening, make sure to give us a 5-star review. If this is your first time listening and you enjoy this episode at the conclusion, make sure to give it a 5-star review. I definitely missed you guys. It's been a little bit. I've been incredibly busy. The reason why things kind of got thrown off kilter for a month there is that we were supposed to have a guest in February who canceled. And when that happens, sometimes it's kind of like this domino effect. If one thing goes bad, then like it dominoes week after week after week. And I could not just get another guest. And I was like, you know what? I don't have a guest this week, but there are things on my mind that I just want to kind of get out. And why don't I just talk to you guys? Because I miss you. I really do. And hopefully you missed just listening to the pod, because I could tell when, you know, people are tuning in, not tuning in, whatever. That it doesn't really matter how many people tune in. It's just interesting. But I definitely missed you guys. But let's dive in. So today's episode is titled 2024, Spring 2024, Nothing, Everything, and Nothing Again. And those words are meant to serve as subheadings for the kind of format of this episode. So nothing stands for nothing has changed. Everything stands for everything is changing. And nothing again stands for nothing again will remain the same. And it's kind of like a fun little play on words that I wanted to use as a format to make this episode just not only like conceptually interesting to me, but like I feel like titles that are too wordy, they don't do as well for people. Like it's a lot to read. So it's kind of mysterious. Spring 2024, nothing, everything, and nothing again. And that's kind of what we'll get into. But before we do, I just want to just touch on some of the things that are have been kind of my favorite things in fashion, or like what's been on my mind as my favorite thing in fashion, and what is maybe one of the least favorite things. This is going to be super quick, and it's just something that I've been thinking about. And for myself, I would say my favorite thing has been being able to see, or what seems to feel like, style as a whole from my generation. I'm 26 years old. I'm technically Gen Z, but I touch millennial, and I see and interact with Gen Alpha all the time on social media. So like, obviously there's millennials, baby boomers. I touch all types of generations. So it's not just like one or the other, but it just seems like collectively, as I'm going on social media, as I step outside my home, obviously I live in New York City now, so this has a lot to do with that as well. But like, it just seems like style is getting better and better and better. More and more people care about fashion than ever before. And I'm taking note of it. It's just something that I've noticed more about. And maybe it's even from my standpoint, like there was a point in time where I was getting into fashion. I would say I was a high school, college age kid, and I was really into sneakers. And as I developed more of a fashion acumen, I felt like I was reaching new peaks, but they were truly false peaks. And maybe ever since moving to New York, I've been here for 6 months now. When I was in Colorado, when I was creating content, I thought I was at a fashion peak. And this is something that maybe you're experiencing right now. Maybe you feel like, oh, damn, like my style is like where it's at. Like it's not going to get any better. I'm falling into the perfect mode when it comes to my style. I felt like that. But now, 6 months after being in New York City and 6 months later, like I just feel like there's so much style. There's so many things that are, you know, piquing my interest. So many aspects of fashion, whether it be traditional menswear, whether it be how women are wearing menswear, whether it be just sustainable fashion and Black Ivy and all these things that I've talked about, obviously through the course of 2024 so far. All these things are really interesting, and it just seems like when I go online and when I go in person, style seems to be more elevated. There's always a new element of fashion forward thinking that's taking place, and I'm gaining and experiencing a lot of inspiration because of it. Now, my least favorite thing in fashion right now, which kind of corresponds to my favorite, is that on the flip side of that, there also is a very overwhelming element to fashion right now, which we'll get into in the everything is changing section, or we'll get into it later in the episode, where I just think that, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of really inspiring things, and there are a lot of things that my brain is like tuned on to. You know what I mean? Like when you're like, I always equate fashion to a feeling, right? It's you can try to make it analytical, you can try to make it more mathematical, but fashion really isn't that. It's creative, it's artistic, it's motion, it's movement, it's art, and it's really personal, right? It's really emotionally personal. But sometimes when I see so much information that the fashion world is displaying to me, whether it be on social media or in person or ideas and forums and articles and books, like sometimes it just feels like, damn, like there's so much happening, so much taking place at one time. And it gets to be a bit exhausting, right? Like, and I've talked about how fashion can feel exhausting at times because, you know, now that fashion has gone from an hobby of mine to a profession of mine, where I am professionally inclined to know and learn and absorb as much information as I can to present that information to you guys. The reason, like that transformation, making that shift is difficult because, like, it's difficult to discern what is important information for you guys to know and what information that's important that aligns with me and what's not. And so, I mean, it's always good to know things. This is like one of the coolest things about being alive, is that you're always constantly learning, growing, and experiencing new things. I think that's one of the coolest things about being alive in the time period we're living in and having social media and all that stuff. But you can't deny that it also feels overwhelming. And a part of me like envies the previous generations. I don't know why I paused like that. The previous generations who grew up in a time period where it wasn't that much internet, there wasn't that much access. But then another part of me goes, well, if there wasn't that much access, like maybe I wouldn't even be into fashion. Maybe I wouldn't have the insight or the opportunity to do what I get to do. So it's kind of a weird toss up of things where, you know, as all things are with being human and being alive, is it's complicated. It's very complicated. And it might be a super basic idea that like fashion is, style is getting more elevated and things are also overwhelming. Like we all might be feeling that, we all might not be feeling that, but like I feel that, and I try to do my best to manage that feeling in a healthy, positive way. All right, let's hone in. So spring 2024, nothing, everything, and nothing again, starting with nothing. We're talking about how nothing has changed. Spring 2024 fashion, there's this feeling that I have that nothing has changed up until this point. We're really still in the era of, I would call it, over the last 3 years, ever since 2021, ever since 2020, ever since the pandemic happened, I feel like we're still kind of in a mode of consuming content and engaging in fashion and engaging in a fashion world that is post-pandemic, during pandemic, post-pandemic kind of world. I think one of the biggest examples of that is, I was talking to Gregory Cooper, aka Creative Cloth, on his podcast / YouTube channel Cloth Talk, and he had me on and we were talking about Mischief's 2x4 boot. Last year around this time, a little bit earlier around this time, Mischief came out with the big red boots, if anyone remembers. I know everyone remembers. That was like one of the craziest internet phenomenons like of the year for that year. It's probably one of the more generation defining moments that we're currently going through, is how Mischief is using social media to capitalize on attention to create fashion forward products, not fashion forward, but just to create fashion products that just generate tons and tons of interest from people. And also with the 2x4 boot, it kind of cements this idea that, you know, we're kind of moving a little bit of away from sneakers, not wholly, but a little bit away from sneakers. And it cements that, you know, the Timberland is one of the most popular boots in this current moment, in this last 8 months. You just can't deny it. If you try to deny that something like the Timberland is not more culturally relevant in this 8 month period than it was in 2015 or something like that, then I think you're just ignoring the truth. And I think Mischief has kind of highlighted and used the 2x4 boot to bring it back, to just kind of solidify my ideas about what I think is going on with Tim's. That's kind of a side note. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to look up Mischief, M-S-C-H-F 2X4. That's what I'm talking about, 2x4. And basically, it's this massive Timberland-esque, just kind of gargantuan, Godzilla-like, just, I want to say weird, but like, I might offend some people, but it's just different. It's just very, very different kind of boot. I wouldn't even call it like something that's like very fashionable. Like, it is, but it isn't. If that makes sense, like, it's not like something that, you know, you wear to like pay homage to craftsmanship and old traditional fashion, or it's kind of just like this weird social media item that exists in real life, if that makes sense. So like that's to me, like, nothing has changed. The Big Red Boot was that same exact thing last year, and Mischief is doing it again. And of course, people are gobbling it up. I think it's having a less effect as it did last year, because maybe the Big Red Boot is more just even more sensationalized, but there's a lot of sensationalized product going out there right now. I know that I don't want to be mistaken on this, but I'm pretty sure Louis Vuitton made a fake skin boot or something like that. And, you know, we have rat shoes and we have bear claw mules and we have all these things. I think that the crux of it all is that sensationalized fashion is a big part of the generation that we're currently living in. It's a big part of the moment we're living in. And in a lot of ways, it makes sense why sensationalized fashion has been coming more to the forefront. The reason it has been is because that we're all competing, or not we're, but those who create content, those who have businesses and use social media and the online forum as a way to communicate ideas, everyone's competing for your attention. And so how do we compete at a higher and more grander scale? We sensationalize things. We make things brighter. We make them bigger. We make them more interesting. We make them more gross. We make them more cool. We make them more sexy. Whatever it is, we make it and we push that human trait. We push that human element to the nth degree to make sure that people pay attention to what we're saying, the stories that we're telling, and the products that we're making. And not only that, you know, I'm a complicated person. I have things about me that make me unique from everyone else, but so do you. Everyone listening to this is a pretty complicated person. You probably have an interest in a thing, whether it be in music or in culture or in fashion, that the people that you grew up around or the people who you consider to be a part of your community, they probably have a different set of interest and point of view from you. And I know I do. And so what does that mean for a world that is so interconnected? It kind of is this weird duality moment where we all are connected because of social media, and we're all connected because we can all view and access the same information. But because there is such a vast quantity of information online, and because we can all kind of niche down to really hyper niche the interest that we care about, there's just so many different ways to express and showcase and individualize our sense of style, taste, and our sense of individuality online. It becomes this just very... it's almost like there's two versions of ourselves. The version that we present online, not even the version we present online, but more so the version that is being curated because of these algorithms and these interests that we have based on likes and engagements and watch time hours and what we interact with. And then the version that exists in the physical world that maybe doesn't have the same opportunities to engage with all of the things that we engage with online. There's kind of this split identity, the online identity and the IRL identity. I just feel that more and more and more as we're progressing more into 2024. And it's hard to the reason why this is like nothing has changed, the reason why I'm calling this section nothing has changed, is because in 2023 it was probably the same way, right? I think that, you know, it's hard to understand whether or not something is at play unless we give it time to showcase whether or not it's actually real or not. And I think that social media, Instagram, TikTok, videos, short form videos, especially long form videos, just the way that the internet has really ballooned out and become this just second life, second layer of life, is really unprecedented and unbelievable. This is also the perfect segue into the idea for the title of this episode, which is Nothing, Everything, and Nothing Again. If nothing has changed, which, you know, what I mean by that is the way that we consume, the way we interact with fashion over the last, I would say, 5 years hasn't really changed. It's changed, but it's, you know, it's at its core, at its essence, it's the same. It's through social media. It's through an inundation of information in a digital age. It also means that in a way, everything is changing, right? Because the way you grew up, the way we grew up, depending on how old you are, no matter how old you are, you know, you interacted with the world in a physical sense, right? And especially here in New York City, I can just see all of the different ways that people used to talk about fashion and how there's been this incredible disruption based on the fact that social media has truly just pushed everything to everyone, right? Like, it's pushed information, it's pushed access to opinionating, it's pushed access to certain style niches that wouldn't have otherwise been accessible to anyone else besides the people who were in proximity to the brands or designers that were creating these things. Here are some of the examples that I think that are the best examples of how everything is changing. Well, not the best examples of how everything is changing, just how things are changing a little bit here, right? So one of the more interesting products that came out that, I mean, there's so much, guys. I wish I could touch on everything, but one of the things I thought was really interesting, because at first I wasn't really on board with this, and now I am someone who likes integrating this type of styling into my outfit. Bose just came out with a pair of earbuds that sort of double as earrings, right? I can't remember what they're called, Bose Ultra something, but they clip onto your ear and they play. The speakers on the earbuds are positioned in such a way that they channel the music into your ear, but they allow you to still hear the outside world. So they're not noise canceling. They don't plug up your ears so you can't hear anything around you. But it's this bridge between fashion and technology that we saw with headphones in 2022, I believe it was, with the AirPod Maxes. And we still see to this day as people use headphones as a way to kind of accessorize their outfits. And not only do they use headphones as a way to accessorize their outfits, it's something that serves as a bit of kind of cultural kind of symbolism that just goes to show that, you know, this generation is always plugged in, right? Like, there's always some kind of music being listened to, always a YouTube video being listened to, always something to be listened to, because there's so much content that, yeah, you gotta have, you know, headphones or earbuds or something like that to go in coexistence with your outfit so that you can listen to all that form of content while you're out and about, whether it's a podcast like this, maybe you're doing it right now listening to this episode, or if you're listening to music, or if you're at the gym or something like that. We're always constantly plugged in. Another change that I see that's close to my heart is sneaker culture. Sneaker culture seems to be flipped upside down as a result of the pandemic. I think what has prompted people saying sneaker culture is being flipped upside down is that resale prices are no longer what they used to be for a lot of shoes, and shoes aren't reselling the same way. And I think if we want to talk about the big reason why sneakers aren't reselling as much, is because it goes back to this notion that there's just so much. There's so much product, man. There's so much from sneakers. You could, if you want to just talk specifically about sneakers as an item of footwear, there's so much. You have Nike, you have New Balance, you have Adidas, you have Asics, you have Saucony, you have Salomon, you have Norda, you have all these brands, Hoka. They have all these options for sneakers that just didn't exist in the past. And these other items of sneakers, these other types of sneakers, are growing in prominence. Like, it's not just about, you know, the biggest Off-White or Nike Fragment collaboration. We have so much, and we're just talking about sneakers. What about non-sneakers? What about loafers? What about mules? What about derbies? What about kitten heels? What about ballet flats? I just made an entire YouTube video about this, how this idea that sneakers are in a way dying, they're changing, the culture is changing. And I think that as someone who got into fashion at first because of sneakers, it's interesting to see this shift take place because, you know, no matter what thing you think is the biggest thing right now, it'll change. It's going to change, right? Like in 5 years from now, there's probably going to be another element of footwear, whether it be, maybe it's 3D printing, maybe it's moccasins, maybe it's just flip-flops, maybe it's something that you could have never expected because there will be introduction of new technology, there'll be introduction of new trends, new ideas, a younger generation will begin to bring things to the forefront, and it'll just change everything. And that's the point of this section. Like everything is in effect changing, and it constantly is changing. When I decided to move to New York City, I knew that it was going to be a very big change in lifestyle for me coming from Colorado. The type of style that you typically see in Colorado is more closely associated with outdoorism, hiking, being on mountains, being outside, being active, because Colorado is a beautiful state. It doesn't have all day rain like I'm experiencing in New York City. Hopefully you still imagine me up high in a skyscraper talking to you guys in a quiet room and the bat symbols out the window, something like that. Regardless, if you don't, it doesn't matter. Colorado is just very different from New York. And so being in New York and having this perspective that's totally shifted, that's totally grown, I feel like, in a lot of ways, and shrunk in a lot of other ways as well, where because I live in a fashion city, I think there's a privilege that comes with that, where, you know, if I need to go to a store or see something or be a part of an event or be a part of something that's happening in the fashion world, it's going to come through New York City, right? Versus having to be a bit more of a seeker in Colorado and looking and searching for these opportunities. But the thing is that in Colorado, they are aligned. And now in New York, it's a physical interaction that is much different than what it was in Colorado. I would say my style from Colorado to New York is that I've gotten more into menswear. You guys are seeing it. I've gotten more into Black Ivy. I've gotten more into what women's wear styling, what's taking place in women's wear, because I think that in Colorado, like, I always noticed how in women's wear, like, things seem to happen in women's wear before they happen in menswear. So there's I have a vested interest in paying attention to women's wear just as much as I have for menswear. And then, you know, as my perspective's gotten older and changed, I realized that for menswear compared to womenswear, there's no really, you know, genderification of style and fashion like that. There are certain pieces that are 9 out of 10 times worn by women, and then there are certain pieces that are 9 out of 10 times worn by men. But there are also pieces that over the course of time, what might be typically associated with a man wouldn't necessarily be typically associated with a man. Now, like women's wear or women might wear something of the sort. Same for women's wear and women, like men wearing items or pieces that are more typically associated with women's wear. So it's all kind of this like ever-changing thing. And everything about New York has just really helped me open my mind to the possibilities of what fashion is and what it looks like and how I can communicate with it. And I think that's cool. And it's cool to like, if you're engaging online, you get to see that from the creators or from the videos or from the articles that you read online, which is awesome as well. Last, let's touch on how nothing again will remain the same. Kind of a weird way to say that, but you know, English is English. It's not always straightforward. It's not easy. As long as you understand me, you get it, right? So one of the things I've been doing as of recent, a lot more, obviously I haven't been recording these episodes on the podcast, so I'm a bit rusty, but I've been just enjoying my time as a person, watching TV shows, hanging out with friends, going to the gym, putting more emphasis on my physical environment and my social life outside of the internet, being a person in 2024, like a person used to be in 2004, right? And what that's meant for my style and for my perspective is that I think that, you know, I was reading a book about, sorry, let me clarify. I was reading a book about how, you know, you are in a lot of ways defined by the generation that you live in. And I think it's a really interesting point of view or perspective, because I find it to be kind of true that no matter what we try to do, if you love social media or hate social media, whether you love the way fashion is moving or hate the way fashion is moving, or you're somewhere in between like myself, I or anyone doesn't get to really affect how the entire world or how trends are taking place online and on social media. So to complain and get angry and only harbor negative emotions about what's taking place online, I think is the opposite of productive, is counterproductive or just bad. What we should do, and what I've tried to do as a result of reading and listening to this book, is that, you know, the generation we're a part of, it's going to be defined by individuals who understand what's taking place currently in the zeitgeist and who can effectively promote and talk about stories and promote the things that we value to the highest level within that zeitgeist, right? And so for fashion, I think it's important for me to continue talking about storytelling and clothes, continue talking about craftsmanship, continue talking about sustainability, because these things, while it feels as though sometimes these things are being put on the back burner because obviously profits are number one for businesses, engagement and likes and clicks is number one for influencers and celebrities, and just everything feels like this kind of crazy cocktail of just all these elements at one time. Like, but I think we can all step back and say, well, the internet is the moment. Short form video is the moment. Content is the moment. I'm talking to you via podcast right now. And then we can step back and say, how are we going to engage within this moment that is fashion in 2024? And for me, like nothing again will remain the same, is just an idea of that, you know, I want to make the best out of the time that we live in for the generation that we live in. And hopefully, you know, I mean, it's other than that, that's all that really matters. Because if we talk about legacy, eventually at some point in 2024, 2024 won't matter to the people living in 2134. You know what I mean? It just won't matter to them. So I strive and I want to do the best that I can to talk, engage, love, and interact with fashion in a positive manner. And it's challenging at times, like the consumption aspect of things, not even from a purchasing standpoint, but just from the watching and engaging standpoint. There's the element of just being overwhelmed with how many fashion cores there are and just how much there is. There's the competition side of things, of wanting to stand out amongst my peers. And there's the idea that, you know, whatever you have is never enough or long enough, because trends come and go. And those things that are always, these are things that are always at play in fashion. We can't really change them. But my idea for this last section is trying to ask you and asking myself, how are you going to make peace with the time period that we're living in? How can you try to make peace with the time period you're living in? And how can you engage and interact personally with fashion in a healthy manner, right? I'll leave you on this. This is a video I saw. Obviously, like, we're talking about overconsumption and we're talking about watching things. But this is a video I saw that was really cool. And I'm not going to share the video, but like this individual, he was talking, I think it was a designer, he was talking about being an intentional observer and not just a consumer. That is the crux of nothing again will remain the same. The final part of this episode is that it's important to try to be, at least in my opinion, an intentional observer of what's taking place in the time period we're living in, right? Don't just copy the trends or just copy the things. Seriously sit down and be a critical thinker and ask yourself, am I doing all that I can for the life that I want to live that involves fashion as an element within that life, right? Everything is a lifestyle, in my opinion. Like, the way you live your life, fashion is all about lifestyle. So the way you wake up and brush your teeth or don't brush your teeth, the way you wake up and make your bed or don't make your bed, the way you hang out with your friends, the way you clean your room, the way you talk, everything about it is a part of your lifestyle. And fashion, the way you dress, is also a part of that lifestyle. And so when we're getting on these social media apps, it's also a part of our lifestyle now to engage and interact on social media. And I think it's important. And one of the things that I'm just thinking about in 2024 for this spring is, how do I continue to engage, but be an intentional observer and not just a consumer of content blindlessly and grotesquely doing that, and doing so in a way that facilitates my personal style improving, facilitates me learning and discovering new designers who I think are really, really interesting designers and do a great job at what they do, and highlighting them and telling stories about clothes that I think are important, that highlighting stories about clothing that not only is important to the individuals who made the clothing, but is important to just everyone's life, everyone can derive or bring value from the stories that I try to tell. That's kind of like the crux of everything, right? It's like trying to bring that level of intentionality as an observer, not just a consumer, and as a creator as well, if you're a creator yourself, to the forefront of the conversation. I think we'll close it out there. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to give it a 5-star review. And as always, I'm spreading peace, love, and positivity in 2024. So that means I'm spreading peace, love, and positivity to you and more. Wherever you are in the world, have a wonderful rest of your day. We'll see you next time when next time happens. I have a new guest for hopefully next week that we can get her on the show. It's a really awesome independent creative. I'm excited about that, but we'll get that. I just hit the microphone. My bad. If the audio just went crazy, I'm sorry. Hit the microphone. I need to stop yakking. I'll see you guys next week or whenever I see you. Peace.